Welcome back to the Sports Wrap with Renee Washington. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for this episode. I have to say, you are in for an all-star lineup. Out of Tennessee, ESPN Titans reporter Teron Davenport joins the show up first to discuss Antonio Brown, Nick Foles, free agency, and the NFL Combine. And then we've got Hunter Brody from the YouTube viral show. He's got thousands of viewers every episode, joining me to discuss the Phillies, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and his predictions for this upcoming baseball season. And then to close out the show, once again from out of Atlanta, Georgia, it's New Breed Nye, dropping his latest single. He's working on a project, guys, and you don't want to miss his song, Quick Update, to close out the show. So thanks again for tuning in. You are definitely in for a treat, so let's get right into it. Joining me on the Sports Wrap, I have a treat for you guys today. Out of Tennessee, we have ESPN Titans reporter Teron Davenport to bring us all the latest insight and scoop on everything in the NFL. Teron, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
No problem. I appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure to come on and talk a little shop. You know, we go back, so I appreciate it.
Of course, of course. Well, we haven't really had a chance to get into football much on my show, so I'm glad to have you here, especially to break down the NFL Combine. And going into it as a reporter, tell us what you see and your thoughts on the Combine this year.
Yeah, really what you see as a reporter, for me, from my perspective, it's all about going there and talking to the prospects. I always like to have that interaction with them. It's pretty cool when you're able to, because the way they have it set up, they have, I think it's 9 podiums going and about 7 tables. And sometimes you luck out and you could go to the table and it'll be just you and the prospect. So you can really get into it with them. And I was able to take advantage of that a couple times with some guys. And it's just fun to get that back and forth and just really get their understanding, you know, understand their plan as far as how they want to go about rushing the passer. For example, a guy from Texas, Charles Amenihu, he really impressed me with that. We talked about his go-to move, his counter move, and just what he's thinking throughout that whole process. So
right.
That's fun. You like to get that insight. And just you could kind of get a gauge for who loves football and who doesn't. And I say a gauge because you can't get a true understanding in that quick of a conversation. But I like doing that. And then obviously the interaction with other media as well as the different team personnel people that are there. It's always good to be able to catch up and just, you know, touch base with some of the team guys that you haven't seen since the season ended. So it was good catching up with a lot of the coaches. So I have a good time every time I go out there to Indy.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. I mean, a lot of people watching the Combine are thinking, I mean, especially whatever team you're a fan of, which player can help my team? But the coaches are there trying to think which player can help my team from a personality standpoint, talent standpoint. But as a reporter, you bring up a good point about being able to talk to these guys. They're all right there in Indianapolis with you, and it's a chance to get to meet them. And now as they do progress as NFL players, you have built that rapport and you kind of have had the chance to get to know who they are as people off the field.
Yeah, for sure. And if a lot of times, see, in the normal process, like when I was really heavy on draft stuff, I would see these guys in Tampa / St. Petersburg for the Shrine Week, East West Shrine Game. Then I would see them in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, and then there were some guys that I would see, you know, 3 times before they get drafted. And so that relationship is really established, and that's really what it's about, because you want to be able to, you know, have a relationship. So this way, if there's something that you need to know, it's just a text message. Hey, listen, I was wondering if, and then they'll respond. So it's all about the relationships that you're able to establish. But you know, the way it is now, whereas I'm not always at the Senior Bowl, very rarely at the East-West Shrine Week, it really comes down to that combine. You know, that's really the chance where you're starting to plant that seed and, you know, create that relationship that, you know, you need. And at the same time that the players need, you know, having a guy in the media that they could go to. Like, I have a story coming out soon about one of the Titans who is involved in music. You know, and he wanted to get it out there that what he's doing with music. So he came to me to do the story. So it's a two-way street. You know, you guys help each other.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. If they trust you to put out a good story on them as a writer and as a reporter, you know, now you're getting those storylines and you're getting a chance to cover players from a different angle that maybe someone else wouldn't because they don't have that connection. And that's something that's tremendous, and you've been fortunate to work with the Eagles, now working with the Tennessee Titans. What's something that you took away from this combine, a specific player that maybe you saw that made the most of their opportunity? I mean, the combine is a chance for coaches, fans, you know, people to see what these players are all about and see them in action. How fast are they? How strong are they? You know, different things like that. What is something that someone that really stood out to you that maybe caught you by surprise a little bit?
Well, from a measurable standpoint, as far as running and jumping and all of that, I mean, it's pretty obvious when you talk about DK Metcalf. You know, they call him the human bat suit. He ran a 4.33.
Yes.
He jumped a 40-plus inch vertical. He's 6'5", 233. Like, the dude is just absolutely what you would envision a football player being, you know, a pass catcher, whether it be a tight end or a receiver. So, obviously him, but I think another guy that kind of flew under the radar until he ran that 40 was Montez Sweat. And Montez Sweat at 6'6", 260 pounds, he ran a 4.41 in the 40, which is, that's rolling. That's actually the fastest time that any defensive lineman has tested at in the modern era. You know, so make no mistake about it, he was definitely someone who stood out. So from a measurables, I would say those guys stood out. You know, a guy like Emmanuel Hall from Missouri, he had a nice combine also. He set a record with the broad jump, 11 feet, 9 inches. And he had, I forget what his vertical was, but he ran a fast 42. So those are the things that you look at. But most importantly, you take that for what it's worth, right? You know, end of the day, you're not paying these guys to run in a straight line for 40 yards. You're not paying them to jump vertically. You're not paying them to broad. You're paying them to play football. So you see these traits and you say, okay, I see these traits. How can I take this back to the film that I've already watched? I always say be wary of people who change their rankings after watching the combine. I always say that.
Okay.
Because the last time I checked, there wasn't any football played between, you know, the last game, the national championship, and the combine. So it's kind of silly in my mind. Now, I don't want to say silly. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me to change your ranking, unless this is a guy you haven't seen before. Then we're talking about something different.
Right. Right. That's the thing. I mean, these tests that they're doing, they don't necessarily translate into a game-like situation because you're not getting out there on the field and just running a 40. You know, like, it's a lot different being able to do these individual drills versus being able to play in games. But let's switch gears a little bit because there's a lot going on in football right now. Obviously, everyone's been tuned into the combine. But as of this morning, we just heard that Antonio Brown is not going to Buffalo. He has decided he does not want to play with the Bills, whoever decided on which end. But we did hear Bills GM saying that they decided to just focus on free agency. Some people are saying Brown's decision not to play in Buffalo was a soft, stuck-up move. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, he has a right, in my opinion, to stay where he wants to play to an extent. What do you think about everything going on with AV?
You know, I don't really even think that decision was his. I mean, there's some people who say that deal was a dead deal as of Wednesday. You know, and it wasn't a matter of where he wanted to go. It was just a matter of the teams not being able to come to an agreement. So, I mean, you do have some who say that he dictated how that deal ended up. I'm not mad at him for that. You know, I don't know that I would want to live in Buffalo myself. And I mean, you saw what Jordan Matthews said. You know, he said there's nothing to do there. And he said that,
right,
you know,
right.
it was him and his wife up there. And, you know, they ended up having a baby. Because the only thing that they could do was each other. That's his exact words. So
exactly.
You know, when you present that to someone, and especially someone like Antonio Brown, who seems to like to be involved with stuff, and I'm not saying bad stuff, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but he, you know, seems like someone who likes to stay busy. So I would find it hard for him to be able to do that in Buffalo. So end of the day, I think it's just a sad situation. It was mishandled by multiple parties, but I think Antonio Brown has an excellent point in that it shouldn't be a situation where one person is elevated above the rest of the team. It's a team, and everybody should be on the same page and on that same platform. It's just unfortunate, and there's something wrong with the culture there with the Steelers, because there's just been too many things that you're seeing. You know, the Le'Veon Bell thing, like they're throwing his sneakers, you know, and saying thanks for the Jordans. Like that's just it just isn't right. Your quarterback calling players out, it's just not right. So I think Antonio Brown has every right to want to leave there, especially if he feels it's a toxic situation. And, you know, whether or not he has any input to that situation being toxic, it remains to be seen. I would say that he's partly guilty also. But end of the day, he's a premier player, if not the best receiver in the league, the top two, top three. You know, DeAndre Hopkins definitely deserves mention. So, I mean, he should be able to go where he could be productive and really show what he brings to the table.
Right, and you hit the nail on the head for a couple of different points. First of all, I think people are quick to say that he was the reason behind the Bills tree falling through, when at the end of the day, he's not working in the front office. He's not an agent, he's a player. And so there are a lot more hands that are involved in this decision besides his. Not to mention, if he did actually decide he does not want to play in Buffalo, not only does he have the my support and understanding in that maybe you don't want to be in Buffalo, but also why would you want to play with the Bills? You know, you're going from the Steelers, that's a toxic situation. You probably want to go to a team, in my opinion, that has a better chance of making the playoffs, winning a Super Bowl, competing in the league, not a team like the Bills. And also coming out of a toxic situation, you want to make sure the next step is the right step.
Exactly.
And I don't know what's going on with the Steelers, and I have heard things about Antonio Brown being a bad locker room guy. You know, we hear things about Big Ben. At the end of the day, the chemistry is not there. And beyond what's going on with the players, the Le'Veon Bell and his shoes, being that was a mess to watch in itself. But something has to change in Pittsburgh. It's a great city. It's a great franchise. But over the last few years, we've seen them underachieving, not being able to make big plays in the postseason that would help them get to a Super Bowl or winning a Super Bowl. And more importantly, now to hear the things going on off the field between the players, it's not a good look at all for Pittsburgh.
No, not at all. And I tell you, fortunately for that franchise, they do a really good job of developing the wide receivers, right? You have Mike Wallace, you have Emmanuel Sanders. Now, those guys were really good, and AB has been everything that he's been. And Juju Smith-Schuster has come in and shown himself. So I think they're in good shape there. But, you know, when you take a guy of Brown's caliber out of the offense, like it's going to hurt. You're right. They can't keep hemorrhaging talent the way that they are and expect everything to be all right. But, you know, the show must go on, so we'll see how things work. There are some good receivers in the draft, so obviously none of them as good as Antonio Brown, but there's some good ones that are available.
Yeah, and free agency is around the corner. So as exciting as everything going on with AB and the Combine is, there's going to be some more news coming out, especially around the Eagles. I know you don't work with the Eagles anymore, but you're still a Philly fan at heart, I'm sure. With Nick Foles and what's going to happen with him, he's one free agent that a lot of people are keeping an eye on. Where do you think he's going to land? We've heard some rumors about his final destination. But what do you think is the definite future for Nick Foles?
Yeah, I'm always going to have an eye on the Eagles just because of the relationship with guys in the locker room. And that was a fun team to cover. As far as Foles is concerned, I think it's very likely he ends up in Jacksonville. I know when Matt LaFleur from the Titans went to the Packers, I was texting back and forth with John DeFilippo, and he said in so many words that he didn't want to go to the Titans, you know, and he had different places that he wanted to go. And I'm sure that with that came Nick Foles. And the thing is, when you look at Nick Foles, you have to understand the one that you're getting. Are you getting the guy that was on the verge of retiring after the Rams debacle, or are you getting the guy who, you know, became big game Nick Foles, you know,
right,
in Philadelphia again? And I think that's the guy that you're getting in the right system. Who is going to run the same system they ran in Philly? John DeFilippo. Who was one of the guys that sat down with him and went over plays? Okay, this one, this one, this one. what else do you like? Okay, I like this one. They went back and forth and picked plays that worked to his favor, and they made sure that those were installed into the call sheet. So make no mistake about it, that relationship is really good. In addition to that, you need the weapons. Okay, no problem. You got a guy like an A.J. Brown who his ability is very much like Alshon Jeffrey, right? Alshon Jeffrey is Nick Foles, was his favorite target, it seemed like, in Philly. So now you could get a guy who has a similar skill set, and you could hit the ground running. You got a D.D. Westbrook, right? You have the running game. There's a lot there. You have a defense that's really good. So now, you know, Nick Foles, he doesn't have to worry about leading an offense that goes out and scores 30 points a game. So I think that situation will be the best match for him. You could say the Giants. Yeah, I think it would be a good match, but I think Jacksonville would be the best one for him because that play caller that he succeeded with before, it wasn't at the play caller. It was his position coach who is now the play caller.
Right, right. And there, and you do bring up some good points in how their offense is similar to the way the Eagles run their offense with Nick Foles. Now, a big question that I know I always have about Nick Foles and Carson Wentz and the whole debate on who's better, and even when they were trying to figure out who the Eagles should keep and what Nick Foles are we going to see? And you bring that up in the fact that, yes, we saw him Super Bowl MVP. We saw him lead them in that tremendous win over the Patriots last year. This year when Carson Wentz went down again, we saw Nick Foles stepping up to once again be the man, and Superman put the team on his back. He sees the field nicely. He finds his targets like Alshon Jeffrey. But is he able to do that for an entire season? And that's my biggest question, and that's also why when people were discussing, what's Doug Peterson going to do? What's the future of Nick Foles and Carson Wentz? I don't know what Nick Foles is going to do in the future because we've seen him be really great. We've seen him make the right passes. We've also seen him make passes that are those lollipop passes that aren't on target, that are under pressure sometimes, or he just doesn't look as sharp. But I don't know if that was if that's the Nick or if the Nick Foles that we know from the Super Bowl is the way he can be for an entire season.
Yeah, and
so
that's the
part there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't know what you're getting, and really with Nick Foles, he's streaky, you know, and he could go on a streak where you're like, wow, he's the best passer in the game. Then he could go on another one, and you're like, hey, this guy, he doesn't need to be on a roster. So you're right, and it's just one of those things where you gamble that, you know, it's going to work in the team that gets him and a team that gets him favor, and we'll just have to see how it happens.
Yeah, and they have to hope they get the Nick Foles from the Super Bowl and not the Nick Foles that's throwing picks and interceptions.
Right.
But you talk about the Jaguars, and that's a team that really stood out to me that would be the best fit for Nick, obviously being down in Jacksonville. We talked about before with Antonio Brown, Buffalo not being a good spot to live. Jacksonville's a very good spot to live. Not to mention, if he is in Jacksonville, he does get the chance to play against your Titans in the AFC South. And now they're competing in the division. What's something you take away from the Titans from this past season? A team that, in my opinion, has a lot of potential, you know, with Marcus Mariota and the future of the team being a top team in the AFC South with the Texans, with the Colts. Do you see them being able to turn a corner next year and do better and perform consistently the entire year? We saw glimpses of it, especially when they lambasted my Eagles early in the season.
Yeah.
Do you see them having that potential to be a top team next year?
I really do. And this is a team that I'm not going to say they're going to have the success that Philly had in 17, but this is a team that reminds me of the 16 Eagles where, yeah, they had a record that, you know, could have been better. You would like to have seen it be better, but at the same time, look at how many close games they lost. And I think it's just a matter of finding a way to win those close games, which is what the Eagles did from 16 to 17. And next thing you know, their record was a lot better. I'm not going to say it's as talented as that team. They still need help receiver-wise, and it's early. We have free agency. We have draft that is still going to give them an opportunity to get better in those aspects. But this team's defense is outstanding. It's a top five unit in the league, and they could still get better. They need to get a better pass rushing situation. So I think they could elevate to an 11 win team. I don't think that would be too difficult considering what four of their seven losses were you know, by 7 points or less. So this is a team that could definitely have a better record. Now, obviously, the league changes from year to year, as well as this team. But I think having Mariota, you know, if they could have him healthy the full season, he and Corey Davis could get on the same page. And then you have Delanie Walker, who was their top pass catcher over the last 4 years, and he didn't even play after the season opener. He had the ankle injury. So there's a lot that could give you momentum, you know, make things seem like they're going to be on the upswing for the team. You do have a new offensive coordinator, a first-time play caller once again, so you have to see how that works. But I think they're in good shape. That AFC South is competitive, though. So they're going to beat each other up between them, the Colts, the Titans, the Jaguars, the Texans. It's going to be, you know, kind of AFC South on AFC South crime, so to speak. But, you know, at the same time, someone has to emerge there. And, you know, it's anybody's division.
Right, right. It is definitely one of the more competitive divisions in the league. And I am definitely looking forward to the day where there is a new team coming out of the AFC. So if it's the Titans, the Jaguars, I don't really care at this point as long as it's not the Patriots. But I definitely think that Tennessee has the ability to make some adjustments. And, of course, as you mentioned, with a new offensive coordinator, you just don't know how he's going to mix with the players. But they have the potential of being a top team. So it's now we just sit and see what happens. Well, Teron, thank you so much for joining me to discuss everything going on with free agency, going on with the combine. Can you let our listeners know where they can find you on social media to get all of your latest updates? I mean, every day you're putting out some great news, some great stories, and feature stories, articles, your podcast. You've got a lot going on down in Tennessee, and where can people find you so they can tune in?
Yeah, thanks. You could see me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. You could also, you go to ESPN.com, you click the NFL page and click Titans, and you'll see all of my Titans work. The Game Nashville, I have a podcast, a weekly show on there. It's called Talking with TD. Have some really good prospects on all the time. Next week I have three guys that I'm sure everyone would want to know about, you know, a certain receiver, a edge rusher, as well as an interior offensive lineman. So some good things coming. And that's where you can find me.
Are you not telling us who's going to be on the show?
It's a teaser. You got to listen to find out.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there you have it. We're going to have to tune into your show next week to hear who your three guests are. Wow, a cliffhanger. I wasn't expecting that one. But thank you so much for joining us on the Sports Wrap and diving into football talk today. I appreciate you being on with us and giving our listeners some inside scoop.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
No problem. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. That's Teron Davenport, guys. Definitely give him a follow on social media. And it is officially halftime. So I want to take this moment to remind you that before we get into Phillies talk, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and other baseball updates with Hunter Brody, so don't forget we've also got some music to close out the show. But you're listening to the Sports Wrap with Renee Washington. Thank you so much for tuning in today and every week. But I won't keep you any longer. Halftime is over. Let's get into baseball. Joining us now on the Sports Wrap is Hunter Brody, host of Sports Talk with Brodes. And Hunter, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, anytime, anytime. I definitely wanted to get your input since you're a big Philly sports guy. And obviously the latest news coming out of Philly, we've got to get into Bryce Harper. And he just signed his 13-year contract, $330 million. He's here to stay in Philly, and a lot of people are excited, disappointed, depending on who their team is. What are your thoughts on Harper's deal?
Second best day of my life behind the Super Bowl. it's just unbelievable. I would have never expected it to be the way it was brought out in terms of the no opt-out, which was huge, which pretty much just meant he wants to be here for the whole 13 years, and you wouldn't have expected that, especially with all the reports that were going out that were so fake, and that was a big thing. It made it seem like he didn't want to be here in Philly. I just would have never expected it to be 13 years with no opt-out, and just annually how much he's actually getting paid for the level of Bryce Harper. It's really cheap, and it helps this team grow for the future, and it just opens up a lot of space to spend money without going over the luxury tax. It's so perfect. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You bring up some really good points. I know a lot of people were surprised at the deal, but with a player of his caliber, and you talk about the future of the Phillies, this is a guy you can build around and you know, go far in the East Division. And I think that's something that you definitely can speak on. Now, what are the chances of the Phillies being a contender of coming out of their division?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. The thing is, the NL East is still really, really good. So this definitely puts us in a better position. As for screaming about the World Series for this year, that's not realistic, understanding our pitching rotation right
now.
No,
not that
good
of a turn on.
Yeah, the way I see it is, he's here for 13 years, and we have a let's say, 7-year window with Bryce Harper's prime, so let's take advantage of those 7 years. So it's definitely going to be a work in progress. We still have moves to be made. But if we can make the playoffs this year, whether that's a wild card or win the division itself, we're putting ourselves in a good position moving forward to attack free agency and just moving along here with our squad.
Absolutely, absolutely. And since he's joined the Phillies, Bryce Harper has been very active. We saw him most recently getting into what they call tampering, which I think is funny because LeBron James was under so much heat in the NBA for tampering with Anthony Davis, and Bryce Harper is not even hiding it. He is fully tampering with Mike Trout, and I love it.
Yeah, no, he definitely is, and you know what? I love it now that it's my team. I'm loving it, and I saw something on Twitter that it made me kind of think twice about this. We keep talking about Bryce Harper coming here and recruiting Mike Trout. What if Mike Trout recruited Bryce Harper and said, dude, I'll be there in 2 years. Get yourself there now. I want you to be there. And we don't think of it that way because Bryce was the first one to come. But there is a chance that Mike pulled the trigger.
Exactly, exactly. And that's a good point. I saw something similar where in 2020 there is a potential change that can happen where Mike Trout will return to Philly, which, as we know, he's South Jersey born and a huge Eagles fan, so I'm sure he would love to be back in Philly. And now with Bryce Harper on the team, that adds so much more incentive to want to bring him back here.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And before this trade happened, I didn't think I heard people say, who cares about Bryce? Let's move on. Screw him. We'll wait for Mike Trout in 2 years. And I said, we can't just pass up on Bryce Harper because we might get Mike Trout. But now that we actually have Bryce, I am like 180% sure Mike Trout will be here. Like, I'm that confident. It's pretty,
wow.
That's a no-brainer in my opinion.
180%. I love it. But
yeah.
No, it definitely seems like it's a done deal at this point. And the moment that he officially became part of the Phillies, and we saw recently where Mike Trout was even saying, I see what Bryce Harper's saying. I'm not stupid. I know what's going on. Yeah, we know what's going on, more importantly. We're not stupid either. We see the plan here.
Yeah, it's great. This is the biggest free agency signing in Philadelphia sports history. This guy has already made, within 3 days of his signing, $10 million, which is his first yearly salary, which is $10 million. It's crazy. The city is going nuts, and the jersey sales to the 300,000 ticket sales. I got sucked into doing both. I bought the jersey, which is back ordered until June because there's so many people buying it. And I bought I bought opening day tickets too. So it's in effect.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you fully bought it. Now, you mentioned the jersey sales, which I was actually going to get into. And in the first 24 hours that his jersey was released, Bryce Harper broke all records of jersey sales, becoming the highest selling athlete for jersey sales in across all sports, by no surprise. But what does this do for baseball as a whole? I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that don't even normally pay attention to baseball. And now, between Bryce Harper joining the Phillies, his uniform sales going through the roof, people are talking baseball as much as any other sport, if not more.
Yeah, no, this is a sport where it's very regionalized. So if your team's bad, your following is really poor. For example, people from Philadelphia, I mean, I do because I'm this crazy sports guy that watches the worst two-place teams play at 10:30 at night on MLB Network, but the majority of people aren't sitting there watching an Oakland A's play the Baltimore Orioles out in Oakland on 10:30 on MLB Network. So it's very regionalized. If your team's good, there's going to be a lot of hype around it. And with this Phillies team now being good, it is, you know, the jersey sales are, it's just, it's crazy. I can't even put it into words on how this really changed everything around here. The Sixers are in a playoff run, and, you know, people are screaming up about Brett Brown, but no, we're talking about the opening day lineup and who's going to bat third.
Right, right. And that's what's become exciting. I mean, for yourself and myself being in Philly, Philly sports are, oh my gosh, out of this world right now. Besides the fact that we had the Eagles win the Super Bowl last year, there's more excitement, although they didn't do as great this year. So made the playoffs. We see the Sixers are doing much better and have a chance of winning the Eastern Conference. Bryce Harper has been actively recruiting not only for the Phillies but for the Eagles and putting out Le'Veon Bell, trying to get other players to come to Philly. This could become a big-time sports city. I mean, you talk about New England and Boston, different sports cities, L.A. being another one, that have multiple teams across multiple sports that are at the top of their league. Can Philly be in that question now with Bryce Harper joining the Phillies, the way Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid are playing with the Sixers? Is this possible?
Yeah, without a doubt. And here's why. It's people don't remember before this magical run of Boston. I started around that 04 time with the Red Sox when they finally broke the curse. They were a joke. Boston sports were literally a joke. But no one ever remembers that because of this iconic historic run. Can we do that same level of a run? I don't know if anyone's ever going to touch it. But this puts us in a spot where at least we are going to have legit contenders every single year, and that even includes the Flyers. I know that they're so iffy here and there. All the seasons are such an emotional ride, but with this new Carter Hart goalie that we got, he is a 20-year-old, a real deal. So we're gonna. I don't know if we're gonna bring home the same level of championships and Super Bowls, but in reference to having contenders, that's a definite.
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time to be a Philly sports fan. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's just a lifestyle. It's a lot of heartbreaks we go through, but when it's on the high, it is one of the best feelings in the world. When we got Bryce Harper, I was actually walking home from class, and I saw 50 kids just high-fiving, screaming everyone with Bryce Harper chants and clapping in between buildings. And I was just like laughing to myself. This is the beauty of sports. People are freaking out, hugging people they don't even know because we landed a free agent.
Wow, that is incredible. And that's something that I know Philly sports fans get. We get a lot of bad rest because apparently, you know, whatever.
The way that we see, I mean, I get why, but yeah.
I don't know why. I don't get it. I think we're just passionate. We love to win. We love our teams. Win or lose, we still support our teams. We are ride or die fans. And that's what that same thing you talk about, seeing kids high-fiving and hugging, I remember seeing that whether we were winning the Super Bowl and we were down on Broad Street parading or just everyone in a bar or a restaurant, everyone's cheering together, everyone's upset together. You know, that is the beauty of being a Philly sports fan. We are probably the best sports fans in the world.
Yeah, no, we are extremely passionate. We definitely are extremely passionate. I'm super excited for the future here, like I said, for all four teams because we have – not only just the team, but you take a look at upper management for each team. What Elton Brand did this year was crazy. What Matt Klentak and John Middleton just did was amazing. Howie Roseman is known as the magician. And the Flyers are in a new regime, I guess, with this new Chuck Fletcher guy. But, you know, we are on the uprise with the Flyers, too, even though they're on the bottom of the totem pole. So even upper management on all four teams have been awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and ask you.
I'm nervous.
What is your prediction for the Phillies for this upcoming year? Coming out of the NL East, what do you think they'll be able to do on this day, March 8th? What do you see the Phillies doing this season?
All right, I'm gonna play the cool, calm card here, and I'm going to say we are going to make the playoffs, but we will be a wild card spot. I think that it's not because we're bad. I think we just still have a couple more holes. We have a deep, deep lineup. But when it comes to pitching, I'm just not sold yet. And I know that our pitching will probably be able to overcome some situations because our power and our hitting is going to be there. So maybe we can score more runs to, you know, outcompete other opponents. But there's still some really good teams in this division. And, you know, when you look at the Nats and their pitching staff and the Mets pitching staff and the moves that they made, I think we make the playoffs, as a wild card team, and then we get to we win the wild card game, and we maybe lose in the NLDS. But I'll take that as a first season of this new roster. I really would.
Okay, so there you have it—a wild card prediction, and a good strong season for the Phillies. I like it.
But yeah, just in the past, being a realist.
Yeah, exactly. You can't assume they're just going to come right in and win the World Series, although that'd be great, but baby stuff. All right, well, Hunter, please tell all of our listeners where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Brodes81. That's B-R-O-D-E-S 81. And then on YouTube, Sports Talk with Brodes. And I'm just a real passionate Philadelphia sports fan that cries and tears and any emotion you could possibly think of, I put it on full display.
Yes, you do. And listeners, I have to tell you, you have to check out Hunter Brody's show because he is viral. He's a YouTube sensation. He's an up-and-comer. And you got to get in now on his show and make sure that you're tuned in on YouTube. So you do a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You do a great job too, you know.
Thanks. Oh, thank you so much for joining me on the Sports Wrap. It's a nice change to be able to talk baseball since we have been very basketball heavy the last few weeks. But I appreciate you weighing in on some Phillies insight and your predictions. So we'll see what happens, and I'm going to hold you to that wild card playoff spot.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. Have a good one. Hunter Brody, guys, sharing his predictions and his insight on what's going on in baseball around Bryce Harper and the Phillies. All right, I told you guys you're in for a treat today, and so far you've heard some of the latest updates from out of football with Teron Davenport. We just got into baseball with Hunter Brody, and this song is one that you definitely don't want to miss. Brand new, just dropped this week. This is New Breed Nye's latest single, Quick Update. Be sure to follow him on all social media at New Breed Nye. But I think I've done enough talking for you. You want to hear the song, don't you? All right, let's get right into it. Quick update. Sit back, relax, enjoy, because this is a great one, guys. And I love this song. New Breed Nye, Quick Update. Take it away.
Quick update. Quick update. There's still somebody fighting.
Speakers train.
That's where I'm at right now.
Much more me when I see myself with you.
Yeah.
I get more sleep and I say the hell with snooze.
Night.
I prepare my blessings now to seek overflow. I keep my praying grandmother that's seeking out their Holy Ghost. No bad vibes, I see good vibes like I'm Snoopy.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing you never trust is love from a groupie. Cause one day you love me and next day you screw me. Then I find myself playing future like I am so groovy. Bird box, I mean I'm blind to the foolishness. Open your eyes, you catch surprise on who you fooling with. Now I'm back up like nigga. Send a backup. They hate to see me sing lead when you was born to back up. How I'm Hollywood, I'm building my foundation. My footprints are wet, haven't dried in the pages. Same circle, but now my sound's in different places. Same hurdle, but now I'm built to run long in these races. Pick up the speed, pick up the pace a little. Cause I'm at a point now where I can't even play with niggas. When I find her, I'll love her. Being honest, I'll trust her. Cause I guarantee she'll never find another. Made ways to made ways, made ways to made ways, made ways to made ways. Made ways to made ways, made ways to made ways, made ways to made ways. I babysit now when it comes to my nephew.
What's up, Cam?
I'm a busy guy, but I put Cam in schedule.
Yes, I do.
I guess what I'm saying is you make time for what you want, but somehow when my phone rings, it's only calls to the rescue.
Yeah.
And some people's eyes, I'll never change.
Never.
And some people's eyes, I've changed too much, and they're afraid to accept the change.
Yeah.
They hate to see I'm relentless, going hard, regardless. Beg your pardon, I'm unwarded. I'm the target. And if I'm in my bag, I know that bag is perfect. And if it's for my future wife, I know she perfect. And like the last song said, you deserve it, girl. You deserve it. And if I'm in my bag, I know that bag is perfect. And if it's for my future wife, I know she perfect. And like the last song said, you deserve it, girl. You deserve it. Pick up the speed. Pick up the pace a little. Cause I'm at a point now where I can't even play with niggas. When I find her, I'll love her. Being honest, I'll trust her. Cause I guarantee she'll never find another. Made ways to made ways. Made ways.
you guys you were in for a treat today. I told you, an all-star lineup from Teron Davenport bringing us the latest football discussions out of ESPN's Titans reporter down in Tennessee, to Hunter Brody discussing the Phillies, Bryce Harper. We had to get into Bryce Harper, who's breaking all types of records, news, trending topics across all sports. And then, of course, closing out the show, I told you, New Breed Nine's latest single is no joke. Hope you enjoyed the entire episode. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of the Sports Wrap with Renee Washington. As always, you can listen every week on Thursdays. Today was, of course, a special edition episode for you guys. Every week on Thursdays across 108 different platforms, it's the Sports Wrap with Renee Washington. I look forward to talking to you more next time, but until then, be blessed, be happy, keep smiling, stay focused, and stay on your grind. I'll see you guys next time. Adios.